right. Okay. So here we go. Let me pray. Y'all remember who I am, right? Bev Furley-Moore? Yeah? Correct. Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy and your goodness. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for these ladies and their kind attention. I pray, Father, that this would be a blessing to them as it was to me. And we just really need your wisdom and your help. We just thank you, Lord, and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about giving true hope. And remember I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about disappointments, I said we needed to think about the character of God. And in this session, I want us to think about the promises of God, okay? So, ladies, why do counselees come to see us? They're hurting. They are hurting. That's what the problem is. And maybe no one's taken them seriously. No one's really heard them. No one seems to understand. They don't know what's going on in their lives. Many feel overwhelmed and disappointed. We talked about disappointment earlier this morning. And maybe they're even disillusioned with life. Life isn't turning out the way they thought it was. They're a far cry from Genesis 1 and 2, right? And so because of the difficulties that they go through, a lot of times they lack hope. Like, things are never going to be better. Things are never going to be good again. So many things. But what we have to remember is many times counselees are theologically lacking in their understanding of God, and they lack understanding of the scriptures. So as biblical counselors, we have the privilege of walking with them through their trials and sharing the hope of Christ with them. So the word hope occurs more than 180 times in the Bible. Hope in the right place is the key to living this side of heaven, okay? So what are some of the things that we, as well as our counselees, wrestle with? We wrestle with discouragement. So many things are coming at us. We feel overwhelmed. Life seems so hard, and nothing seems to get right or be right. We talked about disappointment. We get disappointed when we don't see the answers to our prayers that we were expecting. We're disillusioned. When we see others doing well, it's like, how come we're not doing well, and what's going on here? We wonder why God makes our lives so difficult. We're defeated because nothing seems to change. And maybe we continue to sin in ways that we've tried so hard to put to death. And hopelessness can really creep in when we don't feel like we're living the victorious Christian life. We can become downcast or deeply saddened when the problems we're facing seem so much bigger than God. Doubt creeps in. We doubt God's ability to do something. We doubt his willingness to help us. And this is compounded when we see God helping others and not us. You know, this is what you need to remember. You know, you see a family, you see a friend, you see other people, and they seem to have it all together. But you need to know, ladies, everybody's got their deals. Everybody's got issues. Everybody, okay? So we need to be very careful about comparisons. We doubt God can really bring anything good out of our situation, and we doubt that God is really in control. We doubt God's faithfulness and goodness and love. And then there's drudgery, when our Christian life lacks vibrancy and the spiritual discipline seems so dry and lifeless. It feels like life has become a drudge, like a huge weight we're just dragging along. And then we're distracted. So many distractions, right? Relationships, work, kids, housework, groceries, bills, holidays, activities, social media, the news, life. It's just everything gets in the way. When is there ever time to really focus on the Lord, to be still before the Lord? So we desperately want hope. We desperately want to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So what are some of the external things people put their hope in? I'll name a few, and then if you think of anything else, let me know. We put our hope in relationships, marriage, spouse, kids, education, career, good health, God fulfilling our expectations, dreams for a wonderful future, wealth, long and successful life. Can you think of anything else? Vacations. We have these expectations of vacations, don't we? What else? Friendships. I think, right? What else? Anything? Yes, we want things to make sense. We just, right, what's going on here, right? And then what are some of the internal things people are hoping for? Peace, joy, ease, comfort, cooperation, okay? Being loved, valued, understood, security, affirmation and acceptance, fulfillment, pleasure, power, control. And what are some of the reasons we lack hope? Broken relationships. People let us down. Remember, we talked about that earlier. They disappoint us. They betray us. They reject us. Failed marriages. Kids going off the rails. Just so you'll know, when I said my son crashed and burned, he wasn't in an accident. It was spiritually he was crashing and burning. Okay. Kids going off the rails. Some of us are still single. Failed careers. Broken bodies. Failed dreams, disappointments, financial struggles, really hard circumstances, and God hasn't lived up to our expectations. So I thought about some phrases that the world uses to convey hope. This too shall pass. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. It'll get better, it always does. Don't sweat the small stuff, it's all small, right? But my personal favorite is, it'll all be okay. I see some heads nodding north and south because they know that's me. It'll all be okay. And you know what? This is what I told my husband, George. Maybe some of you were here last year. I told him, as soon as I die, and on my tombstone, you can put, it's all okay now. Right? Right? So I'm not lying when I said it'll all be okay. Okay? So I say that more than once a day to them. On the surface, these things sound okay, but what kind of hope are they conveying, those things? They're conveying hope in circumstances, that our circumstances will improve, but that kind of hope doesn't last. One of the key elements of counseling, right, is giving hope. We want to convey to our counselees an assurance that God is for them and working for their good through whatever they're facing. He's working in their lives for his glory. And we tell them whatever's happening, God is using it to conform them to the likeness of his son. So when we lack hope, things are not good. And we can read about people in the Bible that who had either lost hope or their hope was weakened. Think about Naomi. She left with a husband and two sons, and she comes back without either one of them. She wanted to be called Mara, bitter. Job, he lost his children, his wealth, his health. I said earlier, Jeremiah was considered the weeping prophet. How about Jonah? He wanted to see justice done, by golly. He wanted God to mete out justice upon those Ninevites. And then Peter and the other disciples, their hopes were dashed when Jesus was crucified. They thought all hope was lost. And then the two men on the road to Emmaus. So I'm going to read that passage from Luke. It says, from Luke 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses,